Greetings, this is Scott Porth alongside of Brent Kuhlman, welcoming you to Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction.
I got that down.
Well, I have it written right here, otherwise I'd have bumbled all over it.
Oh, welcome, everybody.
Good to have you here, folks. If you've been with us, we've been working our way through Mark's gospel, not verse by verse, but kind of an overview, a flyby, as Brent likes to say, trying to help reading with understanding.
Yeah, getting some clues from Mark's gospel to see what certain things he emphasizes. Like we've noted how he confesses Jesus as the Christ and as the Son of God, and that basically takes up the first half and the second half his gospel.
It gives us some framework, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We see certain threads that run throughout the gospel. By understanding to whom the gospel was originally written, certain things that are written in the text really seem to be highlighted for us then. We'll get into that a little bit, I think, today. Last week we talked about what the situation was like for the Christians who lived in Rome.
To whom he was writing, most likely, yeah.
Right. And under the Emperor Nero the arrests, the mass arrests that were going on, the persecution, the martyrdoms of those who were dying for the faith.
Yeah, because Mark includes some things in his gospel that the other evangelists don't.
And so we're trying to kind of highlight these for you, and it might be therefore helpful in your understanding of reading and hearing this gospel.
Right.
Before we started recording, Brent and I also mentioned to one another how the Gospel of Mark may become a much more important gospel, if I can say it that way, for us Christians living today.
Yeah, I think we'll understand the context of Mark's gospel a little more and how it fits with maybe our situation now or maybe in the next few years or decades, and how it will be very helpful to us as well.
So one of the things, you know, we want to highlight right now is how Mark's gospel is written for the comfort and the encouragement of persecuted Christians.
Yes.
And so hopefully this will be helpful for us living in 2016 as well.
Yeah, so in Mark chapter 1, verse 13, Jesus is in the wilderness. He is tempted by Satan. And it's just a real short account of our Lord's temptation. And after Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he is with the wild beasts, Mark says. He is with the wild beasts. So 2 points here, wilderness, wild beasts. Now, why in the world would Mark include just those two things, especially the wild beasts that the other evangelists don't mention?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, if he's writing to the Christians in Rome, so they too are living in a wilderness, aren't they?
Yes, and many actually did live in a wilderness in catacombs.
Right.
Yeah.
So because of the persecution of Christians, they're driven into a seclusion, into deserted places, if you will, into the wilderness of the catacombs.
Yeah. And then they were thrown to the wild beasts in the Colosseum in Rome to be torn apart.
So notice, folks, how this language, which it's very easy for us to simply read over, if you will, would really grab the ears of these Christians.
That's right. If you're in Rome and you have to hide in the catacombs because you're being persecuted, and if you know of brothers and sisters in Christ or members of your own family who have been killed by the wild beasts, Jesus is with them, you see. He's Savior of you persecuted, exiled in the wilderness, persecuted Christians.
And those who are in Christ, in the wilderness with Christ, they survive with him. They're safe with him, even though the wild beasts surround. Yeah. You know, that's part of the encouragement then.
Yeah, there's another aspect we're going to get to in Mark's gospel that I think it'll tie in with what's happening today in Western civilization and the United States. But I want to take a look at another passage. This is Mark chapter, what is it? It's Mark chapter 3, and I'm in Matthew. No wonder that doesn't look right. So I want to go to Mark chapter 3, and I want to start at verse 31. This is a very interesting story. Check this out. When his family heard of Jesus, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." I should even read verse 20. Then Jesus went home. the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard of this, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. Christians at Rome were considered to be out of their mind, followers of Jesus. So this is another aspect, a parallel, if you will. Okay.
And once again, Mark mentions some of these things only Mark mentions in his gospel, as if to highlight them.
Yeah.
So the similarity then between Jesus and his family and the Christians in Rome and those who surrounded them.
Notice how Christians in Rome are demonized for being Christians. We talked about this, I think, the last time we recorded our program.
Right.
Where early Christians were viewed as cannibals because in the Lord's Supper they ate the body of Christ and the blood, and they drank the blood of Christ. Not knowing, of course, the Romans didn't understand the theology behind all this, that this is a sacramental eating and drinking of the body and blood of Christ with the bread and the wine. All they could think of is these people are really eating somebody's flesh and blood, some secret ritual at night, you know. So, yeah.
These, I think the language we use, these antisocial tendencies.
Yeah. Well, and that's Christians today. I can guarantee you. I mean, I can't guarantee a lot of things in life, but I can guarantee you when certain federal or state officials or certain people who hate Christians, like certain prominent atheists, you know, like Hitch, you know, Christopher Hitchens, who's now dead, but others like him, when they want to go after Christians, that's their MO, is to be, they're out of their mind. These people are just crazy, idiot people who are really enemies of the state.
And that's the key. They're dangerous to the common good.
Yeah.
So Jesus is dangerous to the common good. And you Christians in Rome, you're dangerous to the common good.
And
you're a threat.
That's why Mark includes this, that his family comes to seize him because they thought he was out of his mind. I think I mentioned this before, I'm going to say it again. Can you imagine? You grow up with this Jesus, and all he talks about is, I'm the Christ. And what it means to be the Christ, which is, I'm gonna be betrayed. I will be handed over into the hands of men. I will be crucified. I'll die, and on the third day be raised. You know, when you've got a family member like that talking like that, you probably say, now these are my words now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just trying to explain how it might have been.
Sure.
As you know, there's a problem with it with our brother. There's a problem with our son. He's got this death wish. He's really got some psychological problems here.
There's instability.
Yeah, he's got this dying in Jerusalem complex. You know, normal people don't talk like this. So again, now think about, so that's why Mark includes this. Christians are also considered to be fools, idiots. They've got psychological problems. And if you don't think that's happening today, well, you need to start paying attention. I mean, for example, confess that Jesus alone is God and Lord, and he's the only way for salvation. Just simply say that. Or say, you know, God wants all life to be protected, even life in the womb. And boy, when you say the latter part, all of a sudden now you're an enemy of the state. You're
right.
An enemy of society. In fact, you're an enemy of civilization, and you're out of your mind, and you must be seized and taken into custody. I'm serious. That's where we're headed in America.
Ironically, you're one who wants to take society back generations back to the, you know, the Stone Age.
the irony here is this, with abortion, and if you've been paying attention to what's been happening in Houston, Texas, with the people who did the undercover investigations of Planned Parenthood, and now how the tables have been turned. If you've been paying any attention to this, I think you understand where we're coming from and where Mark is coming from. People are not going to treat you fairly. I mean, things are changing in the United States and Western civilization. Christians, and I don't know if we ever had a privileged part, you know what I'm trying to say?
Sure, absolutely.
A privileged existence. But if we did, it's over. It's over. We no longer have that status in the United States and Western civilization. Christians in general are the enemy. We are. You name the topic, abortion, marriage, whatever, religion.
There are many messages being sent to the Christians. Do not say the king has no clothes.
That's right.
Because if you do, there will be retribution.
We must watch what will happen to these people who did the undercover investigations with Planned Parenthood and to see how this unfolds. people are probably listening to this saying, yeah, you guys really are out of your mind.
You're proving your point.
Well, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. Now, there's another thing here in Mark's gospel, too. Are you ready to move on?
I am, sure.
Okay. So, Jesus was betrayed, you know, by Judas. This is one of his own 12 closest followers betrayed him. And I know all the evangelists include this, but keep the context in mind. You have Christians in Rome who are betrayed by their closest, either family members or even one of their other brothers and sisters in Christ who, for the sake of money or for the sake of being able to keep a job and a reputation, betray you into the hands of the authorities. Okay?
Yep. And that's, you know, what has the scriptures told us? You know, you will be hauled before kings and governors and so forth. These Christians living in Rome, you know, knock, 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 they're on the door. And now all of a sudden it's your family that's in danger. And you have two options. Either you give the information they desire, you sacrifice other Christians, or you sacrifice your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough spot to be in.
Yes, it is. Mark 15, I'm going to read verses 15 to 20. Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak and twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him.
So what happens to Jesus, you have a parallel, if you will, that happens to these Christians.
Brought before authorities.
Right.
Mocked, ridiculed, put to death for saying Jesus is Lord. Jesus rose from the dead. He is Lord. No doubt, I wouldn't doubt it, many of the early Christians most likely said, you know, you need to believe in this Jesus too. You know, Paul did that. I think it was Paul in Acts. Oh, do you believe in Jesus too, to the authorities?
Right.
And if you really want to get the authorities' anger going, that's what you say. But they weren't doing that to get them angry, but to actually try and convert them.
Right. Who has a death wish now? You're out of your mind to say such a thing. No, but you're right. It was simply confessing the faith, the truth, before those whom had hauled them in.
And that's why Jesus says in Mark 9, verse 49, that everyone will be seasoned with fire. I mean, literally, that's what was happening to Christians in Rome.
Right.
Being torched up, right. Lit up to light the streets in Nero's day. Put in vats of oil and then lit up to light the streets. You know what I'm talking about there?
Oh, yeah. We had the quote from Tacitus last week.
Yes. And, you know, in Mark 10, verse 30, Jesus talks about a promise of reward to those who follow him, and that includes a very significant phrase that there will be persecutions. This is Mark 10, verse 30. Okay.
So what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, what happens to Jesus often happens then to his disciples. So great rewards to be in Christ. And yet, as Mark has told us, what comes with it? Also persecutions. Well, we'll take a break. Back after a moment.